Hi, I'm Lee Davey, I'm a wellbeing coach, and this is my first podcast, the I've Been Thinking podcast. Today we're going to be kind of looking into something that I've been thinking about and something that affects my life, and it's always kind of affected my life, and that's anger. We're going to have somebody different every podcast. My first guest is Sam Hutchinson.
Hi, guys.
Sam is a local musician in the Leeds area. And he's also, that's right, you're also studying your final year at university.
Physical education.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great stuff. So just before we go into it, I just want to kind of go into why I've chose the I've Been Thinking. So the average human has 60,000 thoughts every day. Which is quite a lot of thoughts, because I've seen that online. It's like, wow, there's so many thoughts.
Yeah.
I think I have probably more than
60,000. I've definitely got more than 60,000 a day.
Yeah, my mind's racing.
Yeah.
So the idea of this really was to kind of get a different perspective on my own thinking, and also to help other people, and hopefully around anger as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it affects you, Sam. We're going to go into that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
In terms of the amount of thoughts we have, it'd be nice to get other people's perspectives on it. So I'm going to be doing that every podcast. The first one we're going to be doing, like, is anger, and we're going to go into that.
Cool.
Before we do, Sam, I want to know a little bit more about you.
Right, okay.
Know a bit more about you. So you've got three questions.
Go for
it. Your first question, what is your greatest achievement?
Oh, blimey. I think being in a position now with my music where I feel comfortable enough to release music and, I suppose, step on a stage, if I'm honest. Okay. I think, yeah, being able to kind of go out to an audience and put on a show with my music that I do, having the confidence to do that and be comfortable with it is most definitely probably the biggest achievement. Yeah, yeah.
Love that. That's great. Brilliant. Okay, flipping that on the other side, what's your biggest fear?
Oh, the cliche, the fear of failure. I don't like the idea of not succeeding in something. I don't mind losing, that's different.
Okay.
But failing in me thinking, oh, I've not given it my 100%, or I could have given it more, or I could have done better, or I could have achieved something greater than that. Okay. I think, I probably need to work on that.
Fear of failure, that is a big one. That is one we get quite a lot within the people of support, is that fear of failure and how much that block is.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Cheers, mate. The last question is a bit of an interview question, this.
Right. Yeah, I feel like I'm an interview.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an interview question.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
What are we in now?
2024. So 2029. Where do you see yourself in 2029?
I'd like to say in my own house. Again, still doing gigs, doing shows, successful. I'd like to be playing good venues, making a living off it.
Yeah.
Just, I suppose, a better version of myself than what I am now, I guess. Okay. This is, in my head, the beginning of where I want to end up, I suppose. And I think in 5 years, I don't expect to be finished there, but I expect to be a lot further on the way to it to what I am now.
Yeah. And the last thing is, you've got your record up there, haven't you? Yeah. So just plug yourself to the script. For a second.
Streaming on all platforms right now.
Yeah? Sam Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Really fantastic. So let's go straight into it.
Cool.
Anger.
Yeah, big thing. Big thing in my life, big thing in many males' lives, I think.
Okay.
I'm a very reactive person, but I'm also conscious, and after I've reacted, I think, right, I could have done that differently, or I should have done that differently.
Okay.
I think anger and passion ties in a lot into my world.
All right, okay.
In things I do music-wise, with friendships, I'm a very all in or nothing kind of guy. And I think anger does play a part in that.
So it is part, you've just said it's part of all of your life. It becomes something. Is it because people talk about anger? It's kind of the fight or flight, isn't it? So fight would be part of anger.
Yeah.
So fight does allow us to move forward.
Mm.
Do you sometimes feel you use that anger then?
Yeah.
To move forward with things in your life?
I think so. Yeah, sometimes. I think I'd approach a situation and I feel if I've gone into the fight mode rather than flight, which I am usually that kind of person, I'd think, right, in order to move past this now, a surge or a form of anger needs to come out to release it out of me to be able to move forward past the situation, whether it be an argument, whether it be frustration with work that I'm doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely feel that for me to move on from it, the anger needs to come out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's it like if... Can you always get the anger out? That's what I want to ask. Can the anger always come out?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I feel like there's periods in life where... I suppose not you need to bottle it up, but a different approach other than anger is maybe needed for the sake of other people. Yeah. Like, again, with friendships, if there's someone, let's say, this is not relatable to my friends in the slightest, it's just a prime example. But if you had friends in a friendship group, let's say, and one of them you didn't really get on with, or they didn't really get on with you.
Yeah.
Obviously, in order to settle that or to move past it, would to be show your frustrations to each other. But if that impacts the rest of your group, and the rest of your friendships, I feel like you kind of, the phrase bite your tongue comes into play. And that's quite hard.
How do you do that? How do you bite your tongue with anger? So I'm thinking about me when I was younger, and even still now.
Yeah.
Is it feels sometimes like it, because we know emotions, they just happen, don't they?
Yeah.
They just happen when in the moment. There is like a process, but it is pretty quick when we get to that emotion pretty quickly. But sometimes it just feels like it's a boiling over. Like there's no kind of control from it. It's like they tell you to feel your feelings, don't they?
Yeah.
Your feelings. Is it okay? This is what I want to ask. Is it okay to fully feel anger? Is it okay to be angry?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely a space where anger is acceptable.
Yeah.
And it's a form of emotion that needs to come out.
Okay.
How it comes out, I think, is the key thing, really.
Yeah.
And how people kind of react to being angry or being frustrated.
Okay. How it comes out.
Mm.
How people react. Okay, then. Do you know something for me is with anger, it doesn't always feel socially acceptable.
No, definitely not.
I think out of all the emotions that we have, anger's quite, it's judged harshly, isn't it? It's really harshly judged. I think aggression's an issue. I completely agree. Aggression's not on.
Yeah.
But with anger, it kind of gets tied in with that word aggression, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose they are slightly different. I think aggression's, I suppose, the reaction of anger.
Yes.
And then anger is the emotion, is the feeling.
Yeah.
So again, going back to the question of, is anger acceptable kind of thing? I think feeling frustration and anger is definitely acceptable. But then going back to what people do with that.
Yeah.
So people would turn to punching, maybe, let's say, or hitting someone, or smashing something.
Yeah.
Whereas other people would kind of sit with that anger and kind of boil them up and just be like, right, I'm taking myself away from that situation. I don't want to be involved with that.
Yeah.
I think there's different ways of showing it.
I mean, there is a model, and I use this in my coaching, and it's quite a simple model.
Mm.
We have a trigger.
Yep.
And then we have a thought.
Yep.
Whilst we have a thought in our head, we get a bodily reaction.
Right, okay.
So release hormones. And then we get an urge.
Yeah.
And after that is our decision. We have a behaviour that is then attached to it. For example, watching a football match.
Yeah.
Okay, big football match.
Yeah, go on.
I'm trying to think of one, like a big one. A player gets sent off. World Cup final, player gets sent off. But it's not sending off.
No.
And all the home fans, all the fans can see, that was definitely not sending off. So thought for everybody in that moment is, what the hell is a ref doing?
Yeah.
Total injustice.
Yeah.
Our player's just been sent off. We're probably going to lose a match now. Yeah. It's the World Cup final. Yeah.
It's like the Italy game, Italy-England in the
Euros. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It tends to happen to England quite a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
then there's a bodily reaction.
Yep.
So you get a release of hormones, all these different chemicals that get released from our body. Mm-hmm. It goes into the fight, flight, or freeze. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah.
So you've got fight or flight, you've got freeze. This moment, it's probably going to go to fight. Generally, if he's going to go to fight, there's going to be this rage that builds up from everybody.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be an urge. You tell the ref. Shout at the ref.
Mm.
Yeah. We've all heard the referee chants and stuff like that. So shout at the ref. The next bit is where it changes. So people at the football ground are in the pub.
Mm.
Some people will lob the pint at the TV.
Yeah.
Some people will go to the bar and get another drink. Some people will walk out of the bar. Some people will go to the toilet. Some people might go home. Some people might have a fight. There's a massive range of what things can happen. What do you do with that anger?
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, the people that are attacking and being physical or verbally aggressive and violent, law is against that.
We
can't do that. But the people that are just feeling angry, what do you do with that?
So what personally, what I do in that situation? Yeah. Don't know. I'm trying to think. To be fair, we were watching the England game in we were abroad, and obviously we were there for the penalty shootout and for the decision that the referee made. And I feel I sat there with my anger. I suppose I've reacted differently in different ways to loads of different occasions when I've had anger, but for this specific one, this time I was sat there, fueled up, frustrated, angry. It's kind of shouting at the TV, maybe. Okay. So I wasn't sort of verbal aggression, you could say, shouting at the TV. Didn't throw anything. Again, I was with my family.
Yeah.
So that probably impacted as well how I reacted. Well, again, we'll come to that later. But with your friends, to your family, I'm sure there's a difference in how you'd react. Okay. Verbal frustration at the TV.
Okay. So that's showing your anger in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Tip into aggression.
Yeah.
Somebody might feel...
Yeah, like put off by it or...
Yeah, not happy. Kind of feel a bit... Ooh,
distressed, you could say.
Some people might not. Probably not socially acceptable. Fair to say, isn't it? Probably not socially. Yeah. And we look at football and we look at... Well, I know we're using football quite a lot, but we look at football and we look at the fan base.
Yeah.
Especially in the 1970s, it was huge in the UK when we got banned from tournaments and all sorts because of the aggression that was shown by, well, let's say, male football fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's really interesting is female football fans. Look at the women's game.
Mm.
You see it in the stands and you don't tend to see it.
There's not hooliganism with it.
No, there's no hooliganism. And, yeah. With that, my looking at women acting aggression, obviously we're two men. I had a chat to somebody the other day at work, and it was about women and aggression, or women and anger, sorry, I should say. And it's something I'd not thought about before, and it was anger in women isn't allowed. That's what I was told. Like, you're not allowed to be angry as a woman.
Okay.
If you're seen angry as a woman, you're seen as crazy. Mm. It's your hormones.
Yeah,
it's blamed on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I always thought, as a man, you're not allowed to be angry.
No.
But thinking that way, the perspective of that is...
It's crazy.
Anger's not allowed on both sides.
No.
This emotion. It's bringing me to the next bit of anger. And this is why I probably wanted to talk about today, actually, is what do we do with it then? What's the reason for it? I mean, I said before it's to move stuff forward, but... There's a reason we have emotions. A reason why we feel sad, isn't there? Why we feel excitement.
Mm.
What do we have anger for?
Again, I think it's another way of processing an event. So, like you say, you score a goal in football. You get a big release of serotonin. It's a feel-good hormone. You feel good. You're happy. You're thrilled.
Yeah.
You can go through all these terms. I think anger's then the polar opposite of that. So something happens that is unjust.
Yeah,
something happens that you feel, well, that's not right. That shouldn't have happened that way. There could have been a different way that have happened, and it's happened this way.
Yeah.
So that affects you as a person. That fuels you with anger. So again, I suppose it's just another emotion, really. And it's a way of it's a way of processing and dealing with a situation.
Yeah, yeah. Can you give me an example of when you've used it in a positive way then? Like, it's been really positive.
I suppose, yeah. So going back to when I used to play football, having that anger and aggression in a game.
Yeah.
So being fueled to be like, I don't know, the coaches would say stuff like, look, this is the biggest game of the season. This is, you go out there and you score this goal, you pick up that trophy. You've won. You've completed the league.
Yeah.
And having that fuel to be like, don't get stuck in. Use your physicality. Show them how much you want it is a form of aggression.
Okay.
It's physical aggression, I suppose, in a sporting scenario.
Yeah.
So using that and then going out on the pitch and being like, right, I'm fueled up for this. If someone's getting in my way, I'm going to make sure I get to that ball first. I'm going to barge them off the ball within the rules of the game.
Yeah.
And go and score that goal. So that's using, I suppose, anger to an extent to,
yeah,
in a positive manner to achieve something you want.
Is it always anger, that? Is it always that drive? See,
that's what I was going to come to next. So I don't know, would you class that as anger, or would that be more...
Could you see players get sent off? You go, and we like, I know, we come back to football again.
Yeah, I know. We need, yeah, but cliche.
I mean, it's sport, isn't it? So yeah, we know people channel anger, yeah, through sport. This is where we're going with this. But you see people get sent off. You see some really crazy tackles and fouls and two-foot tackles.
Yeah.
People have just kind of lost their head, as they say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Been sent off for it. When does it switch from the loss? And it feels like the loss of control.
Yeah.
When does it switch from being able to use it to achieve something football, to score,
yep,
to get the ball, to becoming something completely out of control?
I feel once that the incentive to win the game as a team, to get that end goal of what a game of football should be, goes out the window, and it's okay, a lot more about, right, this is my personal mission now. I, yeah, want to either be the best. So I suppose selfishness could come in,
yeah,
being angry towards another opponent, not for the sake of your team winning, but, yeah, more to be like, I've got built up aggression inside,
mm-hmm,
and I'm allowed to take out on you in a certain way.
Yeah.
So okay, I suppose when there's no good intention,
yeah,
I think would be, especially in football, but... If we move away from football, I just thought of another...
Go on then, yeah, go for it.
I just thought, so using it, if we relate to my music,
yeah.
If we had a situation a couple of years ago where we'd wrote a song with the old band, and another band had copied that song, or very close to it.
Okay.
And they had kind of had some good commercial success with it, and we'd not released ours yet. We then thought, right, we'll, yeah, release theirs first, and now we're missing out. So that was angered us all.
Yeah.
Frustrating, but instead of kind of letting that anger get the better of us to act inappropriately, we're like, right, okay, let's go and write another song. Let's, mm-hmm, go write four more. So I suppose that's saying that anger's then used to fuel being better and doing something,
yeah,
greater.
Yeah, so you've used that feeling. Yeah, you've used that feeling of anger there.
Yeah.
To make yourself more creative, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've gone away. You've written four more songs.
Yeah. And then released them, and then we felt better about
it. I really like that. I really like that.
That's the one time that anger's been productive.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? How about anger in relationships?
Mm.
How about anger in your romantic relationships?
Yeah.
How does it feel in that? I'm thinking of myself here as well, in relationships in the past. I suppose... being outwardly angry,
yeah,
and also repressing anger. So we'll talk about both of them. So, yeah, first of all, outwardly angry. How has it affected relationships in the past? How does it feel when you've had those, I suppose, yeah, those kind of outbursts, is it? What would you say?
So that, yeah, I suppose. Look, bottom line of a relationship is two lives coming together to meet in the middle, essentially. Yeah. So there's going to be them outbursts.
Yeah.
Of frustration, and I wanted to do it this way. I would have done it this way if I was on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So putting two people together, first of all, and expecting them to be perfect, obviously, it's never going to work. It's never going to be like, okay, that. There's always compromise.
Yeah.
But with like an outburst, I suppose, it comes from conflicting ideas. If I want to go do something, yeah, the other person wanted, yeah, to do something else. It's about finding of the perfect scenarios, about finding a way to meet in the middle, but the anger comes from when someone gets their way, you could say.
Okay.
I guess.
Do you know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking this with me in those relationships, of when... Do you know what it is for me? You could be in an argument, right? And then you know arguments are not great.
Yeah.
As soon as you go in an argument, you've both kind of lost room.
Yeah, yeah.
You're,
yeah,
in this emotional state. You want to be in... Well, that's what an argument is, isn't it?
Yeah,
an emotional,
yeah,
state. But it's not having the words. And I think that's what it was when I was younger. So not being, yeah, articulate what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So because I couldn't articulate what I wanted to say, it was really difficult.
Yeah.
It was really difficult. So I got frustrated. Frustration then led to anger. never was physically aggressive, but no. had to get out of that room because I was fuming. Because I suppose with myself, because I can't get the words out how I feel.
Yeah. I think I was going to mention them when you mentioned getting out of the room, just slightly going off topic. But feeling like you're like you should be allowed to leave. So I've been in situations before, previously in old relationships, where we'd have an argument and I'd want to leave, but then it was like, no, we're not, like, this is getting sorted now. So mm-hmm. not allowing that time mm-hmm. to kind of process things and understand, I think, can also heighten anger and being stuck in that. I suppose everyone reacts differently.
Yeah.
But I feel sometimes it can be, or I've experienced it, should I say, sometimes where you're in a situation, it's socially unacceptable to just walk out and to say, right, I need to process this.
Yeah.
Whether that was that relationship specifically, or if other people feel that, I feel that can be also a trigger, going back to your triggers for anger, is feeling constricted and not being able to go away and process it.
So like trapped?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
Class it as that.
So do you think if you had space and time, I'm thinking out loud as I'm saying this. So I think if you had space and time, that anger, because the anger would still be there, you'd probably still get the emotion, but it probably wouldn't go into a full rage argument.
No, and I think, especially in a relationship where you know you're there for each other, right? And if you wanted to, let's like you say, go back to the football game quickly. If you're angry about that, you go into another room, the next day you're still going to be frustrated. Because what does the football give you other than like happiness? There's no conflicting ideas between you and football. You're watching that for entertainment. Football is not watching you.
Yeah.
Football, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So if you're in a relationship and you're getting both good and bad out of each other.
Yeah.
If you're then frustrated and walk away, guaranteed the next day you wake up, yeah, you might still be frustrated, but you'll be thinking on a clearer head.
Yeah.
You'll be processing, right, I did that. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Sorry.
Okay.
If you're in the room arguing, you don't even have time to do that. It's just you did this, you did that. Back and forth, do you know what I mean?
So it's that time again. It's what we're saying. It's not being able to process. In relationships with that side of it. What happens then for you after you've lost it? So you've shouted and you might have swore or whatever.
Yeah.
You might have, I don't know. Kick something.
Kick a ball for an
object.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel after?
In the moment, I feel my frustration peaks. It'll get to the top. It won't go any higher. As soon as I've done something rash like that and kicked something or shouted, it doesn't get any worse than that. It'll stay there for, let's say, a minute, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Then by that time, you've probably left the situation. No matter whether it's with someone else or you against, I don't like to say a TV, football.
Yeah.
You walk away and then from there, I feel like, for me, it just slowly comes down. And then by the next day, it'd probably be where I was originally. Okay. So I think when I've lashed out, that's then the peak. That's the... I'll then reflect the next day and think, right, that was the worst bit. That was... You shouldn't have done that kind of thing. You shouldn't have done any of it to lead up to it. But...
So is that regret then?
Yeah, I suppose regret's probably the word, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's funny you're saying it was 2 minutes, didn't it? Like there's a two-minute bout. I read something, somebody there, I can't remember where I read it. But it says an emotion, a feeling lasts 90 seconds.
Right, okay.
It's a 90-second, which really interesting. 30
seconds out, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting you said 2 minutes. So it's like a 90-second period of time.
Yeah.
If it's anything over that, we're holding on to it. But it's funny that it was a 90-second period and then you start to simmer down.
Mm.
And then the next day you get that regret, maybe guilt as well that kicks in. I think I've done that, definitely in the past. I think I've had instant regret. Once the anger's gone, I've been in that moment and thought, why have I just done that? It's like it was not me. I mean, Steve Peters, his book, The Chimp Paradox, he talks about the chimp.
Yeah.
Being that emotional side of you. So he tries to split it up, your emotional brain. And everything that comes through your emotional brain before it comes to your logic, your human brain. So that chimp takes over before it can get to this logic. And I think that's what it is. It's like, that's why we get the guilt after, because a human gets the guilt, but the chimp's done all the...
Yeah.
But it's us, it's still us, it's still part of us. So with the chimp, I think it's just noticing it. For me, it's just noticing this is anger. And it's going back to that model, like I said before, and going through it now, how to behave. The thing is, we're not rational when we're in an angry moment.
No. Yeah, 100%, I agree.
So maybe sometimes it's okay for us to have an outburst as long as we know that's not right. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah definitely, I agree. I think going back, saying like hitting that peak, getting frustrated and then coming away and thinking yeah, that was wrong is a good way of reflection, but a good sense of, maybe could you say, could you class it as controlled? Because I suppose the anger's peaked, but then you've come away from it and said,
yeah,
that was wrong. Or maybe.
Again, going back to the chimp paradox, it's about control is quite hard. And managing.
Yeah. I suppose being accountable for your actions is the bottom line.
And accountable, 100%. Mm. Because like you said, that emotional part of us is still us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you still need to be accountable for your actions. In that moment when you are being angry.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if you are with somebody who is less angry than you, I'm thinking partners, and what do you need from them in that moment?
I suppose it differs on depending what the anger's about. So if the anger's towards them or something they've done,
that
it'd be different compared to if you were angry at, I don't know, a football game.
Yeah.
So I think as a whole, as an average, support when ask them, do you want me to say anything first of all? Do you want me to respond in any way, or do you want me to give you time? Yeah. So I suppose communication is probably the main bottom line of it, I guess.
Is that whilst you're being angry?
So, like, were you talking about the peak? So you've got
so
to that point.
Yeah. So remember that 90-second period. Yeah, right. So you're still into anger at the minute.
Right. Okay.
If the person goes quiet, is that better? If the person shouts back, is that better? Is it?
It'd be better if they obviously stayed quiet and they didn't. They didn't.
Yeah.
They kind of. Look, everyone's going to react different, but
yeah.
I know for a fact if I was angry with someone about something they've done, if they were to stay quiet and just be like, right, you're letting your anger out. They can obviously show frustration, but you've let your anger out. I'm just going to give you a minute to just calm down rather than shout back, because then that's only really going to fuel more.
Yeah. And this isn't us condoning anger,
yeah, just
way.
About to say
I'm
that.
Saying that. It's
But that's what you'd want. That's
because
what I want.
Because when we are shouting and when we're being verbal, it's still aggression.
Yeah.
It's still aggression. It's outward aggression, and it's coming out. It's allowing it to come out. The opposite side of that is that repressed anger and what happens to it then. And I had a look online, actually. We had a look on this before of what does happen. And it can lead to other areas, and it can go to anxiety, actually, because it's very, very similar. And obviously, fight or flight again.
Yeah.
Flight being probably anxiety, running away from it. Repressing it, pushing it down, and I think I did that for years. Never had anxiety when I was younger. Definitely have anxiety now.
Yeah,
but I'm much less angry than I was when I was younger. So it can go into other things. It can go into that, and it can go into, well, even if you go into like relationship issues in terms of, because you're in this state where you're probably not even moving forward with it now. So you might have a thought in your head that you want to get out. And I was talking before about trying to articulate, and now you can't do it because you've repressed it, and it's inside you. It's so deep down. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think having that, it goes back to when we were talking about biting the tongue before. There's certain situations from my personal experience where I'll get frustrated or angry. And there'll be some times where I show it. And then there'll be some times where I'll be angry in myself, but I won't show it to others. So people will probably sense around me that he's not right, he's not talking, or he looks frustrated. Or I'll show frustration in other ways of, I don't know, it could be as simple as your phone not working, and you're right, I'm deleting all the apps.
Yeah.
Instead of being like rational and thinking, well, why deleting everything? Do you know what I mean?
That's
like my suppressed anger and keeping it inside, because I don't want to show it to anyone because it affects other people.
So I think my question now then is, repressed anger, how helpful is repressing it?
Probably no, it's not. In the long run, it's not.
Okay.
I guess in the moment, if you can not, and I'm not condoning in not showing your anger or not showing your emotion, but if there's people around, let's say you're at a wedding, for instance, and you're frustrated with someone that's there, you feel like they've done something wrong, that day's not about you, that's about the bride and the groom.
Yeah.
So if you hold it in for that day and frustrating yourself, but they don't know about it and they've had a good day, then that's, I suppose, a positive for them. And I guess it could be a positive for you because you think.
But for you personally, though.
Yeah, going for me, that's no. It wouldn't.
So if you did that for a period of time, you repress that anger.
Yeah.
And nothing ever came out. And it was just inside. And I mean, I don't mean aggression as well. I mean, like repressing anger, going, I can't feel this way because it's bad. Anger's bad.
Yeah, okay,
you can't feel this way. Yeah, I mean. They seem to think it's because it can also lead to poor self-esteem, drugs and alcohol. People have kind of used other things to kind of cover it up.
To mask it, yeah.
To mask, yeah. That's a much better word.